handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I am your host, J.L. Covin. It is Monday, April 6th, 1:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Recording this at an odd time because I am still waiting for an assignment from the old day job. So here I am just being a content creator, an influencer, a lazy piece of shit who's been in the same sweatpants for three straight days. Whatever it takes to get through the COVID, the coronavirus, the silent, invisible enemy, as I call it. Yes, so I'm in a chipper mood after being emotionally and mentally exhausted on last week's episode. So thank you to everybody. The numbers were jumped for this podcast as well. Obviously not the astronomical jump that I had for making podcasts great again, but nice to see that some people are following my older stuff and hearing what I think and sound like in my own voice and not just in Donald Trump's voice. So I appreciate that, and hopefully you're still with us. I guess just a couple of announcements. Give this podcast 5 stars on iTunes. Please subscribe. Obviously, check out Making Podcasts Great Again. Do the same for that one if you have not, but I'm assuming most of you have. I was supposed to be on Howard Stern tomorrow, or as you're listening to this, if you're a regular sort of Tuesday listener or later in the week, Tuesday was supposed to be my debut on Howard Stern as Trump. That has been postponed till next week. But that's still obviously very good news. So I guess that's the best news, the best part of it. I'm on Cameo, which is, I'm now basically a webcam girl. I do impressions. Everybody wants Trump to say something, either roast people or whatever, but I made a shit ton of money in the last 4 days on Cameo, like a lot. Like if only I could get this many Cameo requests for every week for the next 10 years, I would have to quit my job as a lawyer because I would be getting paid too little. But that's been nice. It's been nice to have just be able to capitalize on a little bump. Got some nice YouTube numbers as well. So I guess this was my week as a tween social influencer, social media influencer tween. That's what I transitioned to into this week. But I feel myself already turning back into the disappointing curmudgeon 40-year-old that I've been for the last 9 years, probably. I may be 40 in age now, but I feel like I've been a bitter 40-year-old since 31, 32. So I guess those are the announcements. Trying to think if I have anything else. Obviously, there's just not much to promote, which is great for me because the joke for this podcast for the last several months was like, no gigs once again. But now everybody is like, no gigs. So the grand equalizer, the COVID. So I don't want to say that. It's certainly not a good thing. I wouldn't ask for a career at the expense of the health and quality of society. But when life gives you COVID, you make Covan lemonade. What can I talk about? So I don't want to get into too many of the things. I'm the type of person who, when the check is in my account, is when I am prepared to talk and brag and be proud of something because there's too many sort of disappointments. So I don't want to talk about some of the things I have in the works. Nothing humongous, but some nice potential money-making opportunities. That's all. So it's from a business perspective, this has been a good couple of weeks for me. From a career-changing perspective, that's obviously TBD because I won't know what kind of demand there is for me. I won't know if I'm getting a bump at clubs or whatever. But obviously from a business perspective, it's been a very successful short run so far. So hopefully that continues. As I record this, I am going to post up a new Trump video and try out the Andrew Cuomo impression as well. So that'll be up this afternoon. Let's hope that one blows up or just does nicely. Because then after that, my next five Trump videos over the span of several weeks are now going to be the exclusive property of the website Dig, which got a huge bump from the original Trump video. And I thought to myself, well, if they want to pay me some bucks for me to give them the videos when there's no guarantee from YouTube to get bucks, I can do that. So that's one of the things I've decided to do. And I'm also doing a couple of Zoom shows, which I have no idea if they, once again, for money. But I have no idea that those will be successful, but I figure might as well try it out in case I'm good at it. Then maybe that could be another revenue stream and a way to build up sort of some of my stand-up comedy fans while also enticing them with lots of Trump and Trump Q&A. So trying, you know, like everybody else trying to, I'm becoming a digital entrepreneur over here by necessity. So that's all good news, I suppose. I'd like, if you are listening to this, that means you don't mind the sound of my regular voice and that you're interested in something other than me saying horrific things as Donald Trump. Please, by all means, go check out my albums. I have 6 stand-up albums and 1 album as Trump. But the 6 stand-up albums are my, those are my pride and joy. Especially Thoughts and Prayers and Keep My Enemies Closer. I always hammer these out, but if you are a fan of mine and you want to see my career go up from, continue to grow and be more than internet novelty for the month of April during a pandemic, then the best way to do that is to download my albums, stream them. Obviously, I don't want to make you pay if you've already paid for a service, but if you're feeling generous, maybe buy 1 or 2 of the albums on Google or Amazon Digital or iTunes. Greatly appreciated. Goes right back into the comedy enterprise. My rent, basically. So that's that. But it would mean a lot if you could buy the albums, some of them. But by all means, if you don't want to buy them, but have time and you're bored and you want something funny, by all means, please stream them. Because if that means maybe you're that much closer to coming see me in person perform or request me at a club, that also has value. So however you can contribute. And then watching my YouTube videos is a great help. And those are completely free to you. So, check out a lot of the stand-up clips, not just the Trump clips. Check out the other sketch clips. Check out the other the dozens of stand-up clips that are up there, nice and free. But this is a time I'd like to capitalize on, and if I have your attention with this podcast, then I make maybe a foolish assumption, but an assumption nonetheless, that you are amenable or open to seeing and hearing more content from me than just Donald Trump. So you can... Unlike the Trump podcast people, who I can't really expect to do more than like Trump, I'm grateful that they're there. If you're on this podcast, I would greatly appreciate you going that extra step, whether it's with some dollars or just with some eyeballs and some streaming. So thank you once again for tuning in. Just a few things I guess I will talk about this week. It's not going to be a super long episode because I just actually got an assignment from my law firm. So look at that. Look at me just... They have to wait until I do this Cuomo Trump video, of course, priorities, but look at me just being just a workaholic, something I didn't expect at 40. I did not expect to become a 14-year-old Instagram model, social influencing skank, but also, that's what they say, lawyer in the streets and egomaniac tween in the sheets. That's what I am now. But it's crazy because I've been exhausted, but now at least I'm not as emotionally drained as I was last week. Now I'm just sort of tired, which is par for the course. I get to resume my sort of Eeyore-esque lifestyle. So Just a few things. Let's talk about movies. I haven't talked about movies in a while. My boycott of AMC theaters is going swimmingly. For those of you who are new listeners, I urged my listeners, we still need a name. Feel free to suggest on Twitter, or if you're following this podcast, most people obviously listen to podcasts on iTunes. Some of you may listen on Spotify, but Podomatic, becoming a follower on Podomatic costs nothing. The only bother you'll get, but it's not really a bother, is that you'll get an email as soon as the new episode goes up. There's no other alerts or emails that you get from me other than new episode up, but you help the algorithm and the numbers if I have more followers on Podomatic. So, like, you know, if you're a subscriber on iTunes, give it 5 stars there. But even if you are, become a follower on Podomatic and you just sort of help it lift on multiple platforms. And if you're a Podomatic person, maybe just give it 5 stars on iTunes, etc. So I had told people that I was no longer, this happened around Thanksgiving, or Christmas. I canceled my AMC membership after 9 years because I just thought it was gross that they didn't pay their employees holiday pay or overtime. A simple thing. And because I'm in the New Jersey, but because I'm in the tri-state area, I have access to a lot of different theater chains. So knowing that Regal Theaters, which is, I think, the second biggest chain in the country, knowing that they allow their workers to actually get monetarily compensated like human beings on holidays, I thought, okay, I'll cancel that and I'll go to Regal. And then the pandemic hit. So I still have yet to see. This is from, for those of you who don't know me, this is from a pretty strong movie junkie over the course of my adult life. So having not seen a movie in the theater since Little Women in late December, it's pretty startling. But now all the theaters are closed. So obviously my boycott sort of went a little too far. But I saw 2 movies this weekend that I liked. And they were both movies. One was a movie I was not going to see in the theater because I thought the trailers looked weak. And then the other one I wasn't going to see until the reviews came out and I heard everybody raving about it. And I said, holy shit, I guess this is really good. Onward, the new Pixar movie, which went to Disney Plus. Obviously because nobody could see it in the theater anymore. So they brought it to Disney Plus a few weeks after theaters closed. And it's not a great Pixar movie. It's a solid Pixar movie. The 4K, the 4K on Disney Plus is just awesome. So visually it's very stimulating and crisp. But I didn't think it was a great movie, but I will say this, the end action sequence was really actually quite awesome. And the ending in terms of the emotional turn it takes is beautiful. I don't put it quite at the Coco level, but it's close. It's a really, it's one of those movies that I would say it's, you will not, even though I would give the movie like a B+, which would put it, you know, middle of the pack at best in terms of Pixar's great legacy, I would say that it was, but it still left me incredibly satisfied and content and, you know, a little misty-eyed because it's a really touching and unexpectedly strong ending from a movie that was just like, oh, okay, this was nice. This is a decent movie. Whoa, that is a phenomenal ending. So I guess I would recommend that. And I guess if you have kids, it's a sort of a quest with 2 brothers going on like a little road trip to, without spoiling anything, basically to find their father in a manner of speaking. And it's really great in terms of the emotional punch and just leaving with a good feeling after watching it. Although you're not leaving anywhere, you're just like, you turn off the TV and just stay sitting on your couch eating cookies like I did. The other movie I saw last night, and because I'm such a potent social media influencer and just raking in the internet bucks now, I said to the righteous girlfriend, I said, hey, babe, you know how I usually only want to watch what's on the streaming services we're already paying for, but in rare occasions, I'll get a $5.99 on-demand movie? Well, you're not fucking around with some joker anymore. So why don't we get the $19.99 just out of theater special expensive rental because of the pandemic movie? So we got The Invisible Man, which we both wanted to see, and it was pretty good. For those of you that know me, I'm going to give a real compliment. I think the director's name was Lee, and the writer director of the movie was named Lee. Now, Lee can be a man's name, but I think in this case it was a lady. So I'm going to heap praise on a lady director. So I don't know if celebrity has changed me. I don't know if I'm now becoming a sellout to the once cherished values I held before becoming an influencer and an internet icon. But I hope it's not. I hope this is what I would have said before I became a voice for millions. But I got to say, she did a hell of a job with this movie. It's really tense. It's really, and that stems from, you know, I felt like the direction was really, really strong. I think the performances were good. And it was a nice change. It was a nice change from Onward. Like, I really went the full spectrum in terms of sort of movie choices this weekend. But I would give Invisible Man, it's sort of hard because I didn't leave it going, once again, I didn't leave anywhere, but metaphorically. I guess when I say I left the movie now, it's just assume it's a metaphor because I'm not going anywhere when I just turn off the movie and stay exactly where I am. But it was really well made and tense and delivered on a lot of what I wanted. But when the movie was over, I wasn't like, that was amazing. I was like, that was good. Even though there were many things in the movie that I appreciated and thought were really good. So I'd say I'd give it a B+, which sometimes offends people, but, you know, I'd say in high school I would be annoyed with a B+, but by the time I got to college, and then God help me in law school, if I saw a B+, I was like, that's a huge win. So I want Lee, whatever her last name is, who wrote and directed, or he. There's always a chance it's a he, and then I take back all my compliments to the fairer sex. But there's always a chance. I want to tell Lee that this is a JL in law school B+. So be proud of it. This isn't a JL getting a B+ and everything else is an A on his high school transcript and going, ugh, whatever, fuck that teacher. This is a goddamn okay. So I'm just gonna try and I'm just gonna go before I look at the rest of my grades. I'm just gonna go get drunk on the success of this B+ in law school type B+. But yeah, so there, I gave you a free movie if you have Disney Plus, and I gave you a very expensive movie if you're a fellow influencer and baller. So, you know, enjoy one or both of those, depending on how successful you are during the coronavirus quarantine. Haven't been able to read a lot because a combination of tension and responding to emails. I'm trying to be, guys, the people's champion, okay? I'm trying to be the people's champion. That means replying to a lot of emails. That means ignoring some mean-spirited emails. That means trying to put out light and love and positivity. And that's when I knew, when I told the Righteous Girlfriend that I had diffused some tense situations over some hateful Twitter messages I got, I said, wait, is this where we're at in society now? J.L. Covan, social media peacemaker? Because we're maybe some of the financial people, the analysts need to talk to me and realize that we're in a much deeper pile of doo-doo, if I can use some foul language, than we previously were. Because if JL, formerly known as the most righteously bitter, cynical comedian, maybe walking God's green earth, is now playing peacemaker, then either he has changed with his success, and maybe for the better, or the world is really becoming an incredibly dark place. And I don't know what it is, but I might want to bet on the incredibly dark place thing. because I've had a lot of people sliding into my DMs, folks. Okay, I don't want to brag, but a lot of people sliding into the DMs. And they largely consist of men and women, parents, grandparents, telling me about a sad story that my humor helped them forget about. That we are in dark, depressing times, and that seeing my videos has really been something that families are looking forward to. And I thought to myself, I guess that's okay, but I really didn't envision this being this type of celebrity. You've got to understand, folks, I used to be a very fit, muscular man. And once upon a time, I was not this domesticated, pre-diabetic, sad sack of shit that I was before 2 weeks ago when I became a social media icon, and now I'm great again. No, I always thought at least I'd get a little bit of that Motley Crue love. You know, the DMs might be blown up with some, you know, internet hoes and some comedy groupies. And what they really blow up with is families thanking me for the gift of my humor. Now, part of me is very touched by that. And part of me goes, yeah, Grandma, but do you fuck? Because I always envisioned myself, at least when I was in shape, that like eventually the movie would be made about me and like it would be Dwayne The Rock Johnson is J.O. Covan. He'd have to like trim down a little bit to play peak J.L., but still 6'7", 240, six pack while sitting in a chair. We're talking a fit guy, not with any of that CrossFit bullshit. And I was fit before it became a gimmick to make friends and to post on social media. I was fit when it was about bragging rights and being just awesome because you were an athlete, not because you wanted hits on the gram. And I'm not that anymore. But, I mean, to put it in perspective, if you're a fan of the show This Is Us, basically my fitness life from 22 to 40 has gone like this. If I were 22-year-old me would watch This Is Us and go, I mean, Randall's pretty jacked, but he could probably put on a little more mass, bro. And then like 30-year-old me would be like, Kevin's killing it. I mean, I'm a little taller and probably a little stronger than him, but he's got that good lean swimmer with a little bulk kind of frame. 37-year-old me would have been like, you know, Toby could lose a few pounds, but he's looking pretty thick, as the kids say. 40-year-old me is like, do I have Kate body? So that's basically where my body has gone over the last. So obviously The Rock is not going to play me anymore. But in spirit, I always thought I'd get a little Motley Crue action, just virtually, not in terms of like actually doing anything. I'm just like Donald Trump. I'm a great Christian. No, but I actually do like going to church. I'm a Catholic, and I wouldn't play those games. But it'd be nice to just know you still got it and that you're human. But instead, now I feel like Tom Hanks is going to play me in a movie. That's where my comedy has like inspired people, and I guess that's nice. But it's weird that all of a sudden it's like JL's blown up on the internet. You know what that means? Aunts and uncles night at the comedy club. But it is cool. I've gotten cameos from different people. Like, hey, my 13-year-old is a huge fan of your impression. Could you wish him a happy birthday? One was, my 8-year-old thinks your videos are so funny on Trump, and she just learned to ride her bike without training wheels. And I sent a beautiful cameo as Trump to that little girl. And it's like, deep down, you sort of go, yeah, that is awesome. The same way like a family is awesome. The same way contributing meaningfully to society is awesome. The same way that helping out the homeless or going to a soup kitchen is awesome. And I'm glad that my comedy, even for this brief time, is having that impact, even if it's just a distracting impact. I'm so glad. But then you know what else is awesome? Chicks coming up to you at bars and telling you you're awesome and that they want to leave with you. That's also awesome. What happened to that awesome? I guess it's gone. It's bye-bye. Now I'm just, I'm the grumpy, edgy comedian for families, apparently. And I guess I have to embrace that brand. So good luck with that to me, I guess. But haven't read a lot, unfortunately. Haven't been able to read. Too jittery. Barely make it through the paper because I'm watching news and replying to emails. That's where we got off on this tangent. So I'm still stuck on this book about the 1918 influenza, which is, I've been like 40 pages into it for a month. So I'm really going to try and bang that out this month. I'm going to just sort of pretend like I have a commute each morning now and just sit in my home office and read for like 45 minutes at 8:30 a.m. and then at like 6:30 p.m. And we'll see how that goes. I probably won't do it. So there, that's letting you know a little bit about what's up with me. Hopefully that made you chuckle on like last week's deeply emotional. Like last week's episode was basically just my podcast version of the last 4 minutes of Captain Phillips, to make another Tom Hanks analogy. It was the Captain Phillips episode. I'm hoping that this one is more of a, oh, what's funny that Tom Hanks has done recently. I don't know. He's very serious now. He's very good natured, but does like quality serious work. So I don't know, but pick something. I want this to be more the Turner and Hooch episode of the podcast, bringing it back to its roots. Hooch! I can't do a Tom Hanks. The only Tom Hanks I ever did well was when he yelled at Vin Diesel in Saving Private Ryan. Kind of like the same Wilson scream he would use in Castaway.
Caparzo!
come on. That sounded pretty good. I'm gonna make that into a ringtone. If anybody out there wants to pay me $500, that's what I'm worth these days on social. No, but yeah, Wilson. That didn't sound as good because Caparzo came from the heart. That's always been the one that I really felt sounded the most like Tom Hanks. So just if you take anything out of this podcast, take that JL's good at impressions, but when it comes to Tom Hanks, he can only say Vin Diesel's character's name from Saving Private Ryan with full Hanksian accuracy. Kind of like my T.J. Miller impression, which consists of one word, but I really stick the landing. T.J. Miller, when getting annoyed by his father. Are you ready? Dad! And scene. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Trump. I feel a need to do this. He's a complete disaster. It's one of those things where people Oh, good. Tech stuff guy from the other podcast is telling me he's going to record with a different program tonight to see if quality is better than Skype. So that's good. Why not take as many risks and changes while we have a humongous audience? That's always been my philosophy. If it's not broke, try to maybe break it. That's the motto that I try to live by. No. And in the words of Trump, we'll see what happens. Oh God, that just put me in a fucking bad mood. And we're back, folks. JL took a 30-minute break from being super angry and negative, but he's back now after that long, extended commercial break of positivity. No, I want to talk about Trump real quick, and then I'll let you go, because I'm running into this thing now where I'm doing Trump impressions, and I get some Trump people who are like, I get the progressives who are stupid, who think I'm like serious about everything and don't actually watch the videos, and then I go, it's a parody. And some of them apologize, and some of them block me, which is also hilarious. It's like, wow. You hate the fact that Trump can never admit that he's wrong about anything. And then when you call somebody a fucking idiot on social media because you didn't actually watch the video and they say in a calm tweet, you might want to watch it. It's just a parody. And then you block them rather than face facts that you're an asshole. Now, most people have apologized when I've said that. But my favorite is the new thing, the Trump fan who writes to me says, hey, man, I like Trump, but your impression's funny. You might want to steer clear of politics because you might lose half your audience. And among the opportunities I rejected, I should tell you, one of the opportunities I rejected while getting media requests. By the way, I'll be on the Today Show Australia on Wednesday, but I guess that's Thursday Australia time. For anybody who listens to this podcast who's from Australia, that's not a joke. That's actually happening. But I was invited on to Newsmax, which is like the... It's the middle child between the heroin-addicted Port Authority bus terminal prostitute that is OAN and the high-end conservative escort that is Fox News. Newsmax is in the middle, you know, like a webcam girl who's going to college of conservative propaganda. And Sean Spicer works for them. And now I went to school with Sean Spicer's brother. I was classmates with Sean Spicer's brother in college at Williams. And a very nice guy. Occasionally reaches out, like he sent me a really nice message when my father passed away a few years ago. But he's always been a nice guy, pleasant. Have seen him a few times over the years. You know, when I was early in comedy, I think he came to a show or two. Nice guy. I obviously totally disagree with his brother's former boss and his brother's work choices. But they wanted to have me on because they loved the impression. And I just thought to myself, I was like, I have two choices. One is to go on there and dance for conservatives and make them feel good about this and get a few fans and make them laugh. And maybe they'll be like, hey, my brother's a fan. Can you do a cameo for him? And the other was like, go on there. And a friend of mine advised like, oh, you should go on there. You should. And you should like totally blow it up and just be like, read them the riot act as Trump or something. And I guess if I didn't know Sean Spicer's brother, maybe I would have done that, but I do, and I don't have that kind of heart to just be like, I'm going at, like, so I just declined. I figured the only thing I could do was decline, because I morally don't support it, but I'm not there to, like, trash someone that I, you know, that I'm 1 degree separated from, like, by choice. Like, I don't have to choose to go on and be like, by the way, even though I know your brother, fuck you and your boss, bro. I didn't feel like I just did. That's not that I don't want to do that. I will defend myself and I will attack certain things, but I'm not here to like pick fights directly with people, especially, you know, I can admit some bias there. So I thought the best option was to reject it. So I'm not comfortable being like an intentional clown for people who support Trump. If people think it's funny, I appreciate that no matter what your political stripe, because I'm funny and I'm good at this. But I do also feel like it's one of those things, kind of like how Chappelle quit Chappelle's show because he felt like too many white people were sort of laughing at black people from the way he was doing jokes instead of sort of seeing the humor or feeling the humor in a different way, and it made him uncomfortable. And sometimes I feel that because I don't really get some bits I do as Trump you can laugh at no matter what your political stripes. And then other bits I do and I'm like, I don't know. The joke was that Trump is like a serious racist and like, I try to be darkly humorous, but at the core of it, that's not a funny idea because I'm serious. I'm not like saying, wouldn't it be hilarious if Trump was racist? I'm saying he's racist and I'm making people laugh at this, but also to examine it. If you miss that, that's on you, but I don't have to then go take your corporate gig or your appearance and like co-sign that interpretation, if that makes sense. So, you know, that may cost me a few fans, but I don't think it's costing me many fans right now. And, you know, we'll see where this goes. I don't think this is going to last forever, but hopefully I maintain a decently strong fan base. So that's it. I don't know. This is like a quick, tidy episode. I was definitely, anybody who was new to the show last week, hopefully you were moved by my words. Or just understood a little bit more about me. But this is more, I think, what you'll get out of a typical episode of the Righteous Brook Podcast. So if this is what you dig, or this is in your wheelhouse of enjoyment, then stick with it. Give it 5 stars on iTunes, become a follower on Podomatic, and please support it. And anybody out there who's got some extra money, if you want the Trump impression, I'm on Cameo, cameo.com/JLCovin. I know that's a weird plug, but it's real money coming in to my house, and you know, I've obviously bragged about my employment situation. It's an embarrassment of riches, but I can't say everybody in my house is killing it on the employment front with the economy tanking right now. I'm talking to you, Cookie. That's my dog. Bitch hasn't done a job in fucking 4+ years. It's really disgraceful. I asked her to get on Instagram. I asked Cookie to get on Instagram because she's a beautiful dog. She might become like a pet influencer. Okay, I could parlay that. It could become part of my brand. She could become the Kylie Jenner to my Kim Kardashian, if you will. But she doesn't seem to be looking forward to that. So, I mean, I appreciate her integrity, but it's like you got to start being an earner, Cooks. But yeah, the Cameo, the albums, I can't stress it enough how I really do want people to go buy or stream the albums. If you're feeling generous or you want to support my show, my career, whatever, please go buy a few of the albums. Because that's what I really hope will outlast the Trump impression, obviously. The Trump impression's been 3 years for me. The stand-up's been 16 years. So you can guess which one I want to be the lasting legacy, if possible. So that's the albums that Making Podcasts Great Again I already plugged. And check out the YouTube. There's, in other words, it sounds like a lot that I'm plugging, and it really is. I usually don't make plugs for everything I do. But with people home from work or out of work, if you've got the money, support monetarily. If you don't have the money, support with streams, support with YouTube views. Those in the aggregate pay me money, and they don't hopefully cost you anything. So if you're in tough straits, you know, dire straits, whatever, you know, contribute with free views and hopefully you enjoy them. And if you have some money, contribute in a better way. And the big announcement, and I shit you not when I say this, we're going to announce very soon, possibly this week, at latest next week, a pre-order for Fireside Craps 2, the Trump sequel album, which is like, you know, a month-by-month track of his presidency after Fireside Craps 1. This album, I listened to the production of it yesterday. It's like 90% done. This is really, really funny. And I think could really do extremely well. Like it's kind of an old school concept comedy album. It's obviously not stand up, but this thing is really funny material, obviously a good impression. And Aaron Hodges of You Lucky Dog Productions has done who is, as I've said on the show before, is a real comedy friendly comedian first sort of album producer, which there aren't a lot of in the business, which is why I work with him on some projects, whereas I usually advocate not working with other production labels because I don't think they have there's not even a mutual interest. I think it's about the company and exploitation to the most, for the most part, when it comes to non-famous artists. Famous artists always get their way, but I'm talking about the non-famous dregs like me who are desperate for attention and will agree to deals that are not always favorable to them in the long term. But Aaron's good shit on the front, and he has done a masterpiece job with this album. So that one I'm going to ask everybody to buy if they're able, and I want that one to blow up the charts because I think with my new following and being Trump-centered, this will be that could be a real major moment for my career. Forget the money that it'll bring in, like as far as that album becoming maybe getting a little more recognition, like it's coming from a famous person, if you know what I mean. So that's something to keep your eye on. Until then, it'll just be more internet content, more podcasts. So whatever you can do, free or paid, to support the J.O. Covan burgeoning empire, it is always very appreciated. Thank you very much to my old fans and to my new fans and to anybody who is actually listening to their second ever episode of Righteous Prick Podcast. Thank you. And I hope you're here for 3, 4, 5 and 20 more, or more than that. So thank you for listening. And I will see you next Tuesday.